Gentlemen Overlords. I don't even know what
you're
it is.
You're ad-libbing it? You don't know it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Gentlemen Overlords. I'm Andrew. That's the intro, Max.
I'm not doing it. I'm not. No. Go back. Play it.
All right, fine. Here's the intro.
And I, for one, welcome our new Gentlemen Overlords.
Who? Now that's a team I can work with.
I love it. I love bringing people together.
I am
together.
Leaving that in, by the way.
How we doing?
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Gentlemen Overlords.
And I'm Max.
And I'm Robert. L-L-I-U.
And guys, we are the Gentlemen Overlords, and we are here to talk about some movies we've seen.
Don't you forget about me. Look my way, girl. Something breakfast.
Movies we've seen.
Max, Robert, my boys, what have you two? What have you two been up to, and what have you two seen?
Okay, usually me first, but I guess are we trading off every other movie?
You know,
I don't
know
what we're doing.
Where I was like, I greeted the first, but the second is the one that I want to go first because I greeted you more recently. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what? I'll go ahead and take the lead since I'm normally in this spot. I believe since last we spoke, I hadn't watched these two films. I had been on the road in Tennessee. So that was a lot of movies on at the very end of the night as I'm trying to fall asleep. Planet Terror, which I somehow watched whatever channel was streaming it. It was like an edited version. So like they're shooting the zombies and there's giant gushes of blood and limbs falling off. But there's a part where someone flips someone off and it was blurred.
What?
I couldn't believe it.
Can't do that.
Only in Tennessee.
Conservative. Well, conservative in the fact that, yeah, we can't see a damn middle finger. Can't flip the freaking bird over here. Planet Terror, and then also Blue Ruin. I don't know if you guys have seen that. Believe the same director as Green Room. Blue Ruin is sort of a revenge tale. This guy gets out of jail for the wrongful. I hope I'm getting the details right. I believe he was accused of killing his parents. Someone else did it. And then he almost immediately is like, I'm going to kill the fucking people responsible for this.
That's really interesting. But, looks like he has a new project coming out. Red Herring is going to be his next.
Red Herring. And I wonder if the person I suspect is the villain will really be the true villain.
I don't know. You'll have to
see. But I like this because it's a revenge story with someone who is sort of inept at trying to get revenge. In kind of a funny way, but it is still very grim and graphic. And
sounds a lot like a movie I watched today, maybe for this podcast. We'll see.
But I do recommend it though. Blue Ruin is entertaining, and yeah, if you can stomach the gore, I think it's worth checking out. Very tense. I really quite enjoy it. Also rewatched on, I think I watched that on May 4th or maybe right when I got back, Rogue One. In honor of May the 4th be with you, Star Wars Day. Watch a little Star Wars show also, but I'll talk about during TV we've seen. The Planet of the Apes more recent trilogy. You got Rise, mm-hmm. Dawn, and War.
Mm-hmm.
Watched all those in anticipation for Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, which I'm excited for. Huge shoes to fill, even though the apes don't wear shoes.
What do you think about, I was watching a breakdown video of those movies, and it was basically that the naming should be ordered differently,
mm-hmm.
that the first
Rise
movie,
and Dawn I can never get correctly. I right. always think Dawn goes before Rise,
but
and
Dawn,
it's the other way.
Yeah, but it should be, the first movie should be called Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. The second movie should be called War of the Planet of the Apes, and then the third movie should be Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, I can see the call for the different naming convention, but someday I'll get it all figured out.
It's for the early birds where you rise before dawn.
That's a good point.
And those folks always then go to war.
I also forgot that I hadn't seen the end of War of the Planet of the Apes. If you remember, my rental ran out when we talked about it.
That's right.
So I hadn't seen. So when he's like talking about the ending, I was like, what happened? And I was like, oh right, I didn't see the ending of the movie.
I also watched The Fifth Element, which is a movie I really love, and
I still haven't seen the first four, but yeah, the fifth one is really good.
Fifth one's good. I honestly just started the fifth. That's what I always say. It's great. Awesome practical effects. I think the CG really holds up in a lot of spots. I think there's a few things that look kind of like composited on, but I think they do a really good job. It was kind of that sweet spot where like it was very high end the people who were working in that field were just putting out quality stuff, and you know, not too much shade on everyone nowadays, but it feels like it's spread further out. And what I'm saying is CG art is not art, is basically what I'm really love that one. And then Training Day is the other movie I rewatched recently. Denzel Washington and Ethan Hawke. So good. Just a crazy, also another one of those movies where you're like, this is one day? Jesus Christ. It's like a 72-hour day. It feels like they're doing so much. They're getting high. They're coming down. They're rolling around, and it feels like the sun's up for 24 hours or something wild.
And you had texted me earlier. You wanted to do your Denzel impression from Training Day on the pod, right? Mm-hmm. So go ahead.
Yeah. I said, Mr. King Kong, he doesn't have stuff on me.
This is good.
That was my impression.
This is good. It's really good.
Yeah. So, and Denzel, hope you hear it. I'll at you.
He is a listener, and he'll listen to it at the Lakers game, I think.
Yeah, kind of notorious in the Patreon comments. We got to turn those off, I think. But those are the movies I've seen.
Max, what about you?
Oh, I've had a pretty busy week. I watched Mr. and Mrs. Smith, the film with Brad Pitt and then wife Angelina Jolie.
Then wife. Didn't they get together on that film?
Met wife, Angelina Met Jolie. Wife.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Soon to be wife.
Soon to be. Uh-huh. They're just actors together.
Couple crazy
at that
kids.
Point. Yeah.
Falling when, in love.
In a blooming romance. Yeah, and you can see it. You can see it on screen.
Their chemistry is dynamite in that movie. That is true.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I kind of watched it because we tried the Mr. and Mrs. Smith TV show and weren't too into it. It like this one follows a lot more familiar beats where they're in a relationship that is not really going that well, and then they end up like figuring out things about themselves.
You kill people for money too?
Yeah. And then they learn to love each other by the end of it. And it is a lot more familiar, but it also feels like it's more well. It's more complete, I guess. It makes more sense overall. And it's got really silly action scenes that are pretty fun. But yeah, I enjoyed it. And that's all of my busy week. That's the only movie I watched.
Wow.
Well, Robert, as I'm sure you're aware, on Doughboys, it is Mank 2 Pank month.
Alexander Payne movies.
So I watched, in anticipation for their episode this week, I watched Election. And, you know, last year they did the Finch Man, David Fincher movies. And I'm not a huge Fincher guy, but I am a huge Alexander Payne guy. So I was very excited to learn that they're doing Payne movies.
Do you happen to be, or do you like actively, like at this point, you're like, I know this director, and if he's coming out with a movie, I want
to
see it.
Well, to be fair, I haven't seen Downsizing and I have not seen The Holdovers yet. But
Holdovers is great.
I love Election. I really love The Descendants, and I haven't seen About Schmidt in a long time, but I liked it too. So, and Sideways, I think Sideways is overrated, but I do like it. It's just not one of
They've covered it on the pod previously. Yes. You know what? I can give you the breakdown of the movies they're going to cover. I can't tell everyone else, but off pod, I'll let you know what they're touching on this time.
But yeah, so I rewatched Election. Fucking great. Just a really fun story of this like fucking loser guy.
I do have a big negative though. I really hate the poster with her, Matthew Broderick peeking out of her mouth. I just hate that poster.
It's a bad poster. It doesn't indicate anything about the movie.
Give me four heads you know, in like a red or a blue floating around.
That would be, that would actually be a perfect, like, have a, like, you know, the like star quarterback, like, you know, like,
I, hey, hate to be toxic, but I think that's the move for this one.
Yeah. I did love the movie. It was fun to rewatch. Good. Fucking Reese Witherspoon is Tracy Flick. She's so good and such an obnoxious, like, you know, like,
kind of
goody-goody, but like, she's obviously like, it's just, there's something,
she knows, like, the game too.
Yeah, and, she is, yeah, like, like, unabashedly, she is like a toxic character, but you're also like, you kind of want her to succeed too, but it's, she just does something every 5 minutes where you're just like, ah, God, I don't like you. But I think it's a, I did listen to their episode, and it was an interesting perspective to sort of paint at least the movie as like kind of woman hating a little bit. And I think that's not totally incorrect. But also, like, the main character, Paul, is such a unabashed dipshit in the movie that, like, it's also not very friendly towards men either. Like, Jim McAllister is, Matthew Broderick. Paul is Chris Klein. So Jim is like a dipshit. Paul is like just a puppy dog, but like is just like the biggest idiot. Like, you know, nice guy, but like just says just really stupid things because he's just like, he doesn't know better, you know? So it's, I think it's a movie that is, it's pretty mean across the board to all characters, but, fairly. But yeah, so I enjoyed it, really liked watching it again. And I did see somebody complaining about on Letterboxd about the bee sting. Like, people don't care that much about, like, I didn't care that much about what happened to him. It's like, I think the bee sting at the end, like, just really is the cherry on the top of the cake of his, like, fucking downfall. So, yeah. Great movie. Enjoyed it a lot. But that's it for movies for me. Let's talk about some TV shows we've seen.
TV shows we've seen.
We've seen.
Robert, what TV shows have you seen?
I think since we last talked, the only real new one is Tales of the Empire, which I also watched on May the 4th. Dropped on May the 4th. This is the follow-up to, was it Tales of the Jedi?
Yeah.
Which was another Disney Plus sort of exclusive. This follows two different characters. They each get 3 episodes that are about 15 minutes. One is Morgan Elsbeth, who I think premiered in Mando and then had a role in more recent season. And then you also have Barriss Offee for, like, I think for the last like 10 years or more, no one knew what happened to this character since like the Jedi Purge and kind of after. So there's a lot of like kind of filling in of that character's timeline. I enjoyed both of them. I guess I'm not like super invested in either of them to the point where I'm like, I gotta know what's happening. But I would argue that the Barriss one by the end is still open-ended enough where it sort of like puts everyone in the same position where it's like, okay, we found out what happened during this chunk of time, but now it sounds like there could be 3 more stories after this. So there's that. Morgan Elsbeth has sort of the end of her arc during the Mando series, the latest Mando series. And it was cool to see kind of some of that stuff filled in, especially how she kind of gets to where she is as sort of the, I forget if she's kind of like a governor of like, or magistrate of her planet when you meet her in Mando. But it was cool. Grievous makes an appearance. You see her kind of basically suffer as a kid and then do the same shit that she hated to other people, which is gross and, you know, kind of appropriate. But overall, really, I enjoyed them, and it was nice to have something new drop on May the 4th, and I went through those, and I liked those, so I'll give those a recommendation.
Can I make a prediction as to what happens to Grievous?
Yes.
He shows up on a bus, starts coughing, and people are like, ugh, wear a mask, dude.
Mask up, dude. Yeah.
Sorry.
And then, oh, that's a conspiracy, and they're like, uh-oh, oh my God.
Good thing he has 6 arms to cover up his mouth.
The Trade Guild actually manufacturing. Okay,
oh, no.
Here we go.
Oh, no.
He's on Bill Margaglob's pod glassed which is what they call podcasts in Star Wars. Yeah. What about you guys?
Oh, you haven't seen any other TV?
That's about it. Okay. Not a lot other Max? Than that.
Yeah, I finished up Fallout.
Hell yeah.
Oh, that was a pretty fun one.
Crawl out to the Fallout baby.
Yeah. I thought a lot of the characters were, a few of the characters maybe pretty hateable, mm-hmm. but I thought it was overall a fun show.
I think that's good though. I feel like people should have the moral grays and not grays are good for that reason.
I agree. I thought it made for an interesting show. I thought some like were not as redeemable maybe as they were intended to be, but
well, without saying their actions, who are you referring to? Can you say Lucy the ghoul or Maximus or other characters?
Are we talking about Norm? Are we talking about the dad?
Are we talking about Wilson? Because he always stays behind the fence. He won't even engage with the neighbors. Like, what are we talking about?
I feel like mainly Maximus was like a pretty awful guy throughout the whole thing, and like pretty self-centered, pretty much a prick and like a weirdo too.
I'll say general, but like there is a moment early on where you think he sort of did something to sabotage something, and he didn't. But the whole time like you totally believe he could because of his other actions.
Yeah.
And then very generally by the end they've really opened it up to what his character will become, and I think that's interesting because, you know, it is a lot of like how he was raised. Especially growing up essentially in the Brotherhood for the most part. So I'm curious to see where they go with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. I thought it was fun. It wasn't perfect, but it was a good one. I think like in terms of video game adaptations mm-hmm. into TV shows,
I feel like we're kind of eating right now.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like it's really a wasteland, no pun intended, but I feel like we've had some lucky adaptations recently.
Yeah. And then I watched some episodes of Queer Eye while I had access to Netflix, and those are always good. I should say they're usually pretty damn good though. Mm-hmm. So enjoyed those. And then I finished up season two of I'm Sorry, which is what's her name, Andrea Savage, a comedy show about a comedian and a mother, a wife, and her like. Her life, raising her kid, living mm-hmm. with her husband, and writing jokes and stuff. It's pretty funny, but it's one of those like very intentionally crude humor, like see how much you can gross people out. And so sometimes that's a little bit much, but it's a talented group of people working on it. A lot of recognizable cameos. This one didn't have Mantzoukas in it. I think he was in season one the whole thing, but I don't think he's in season two. But I think it's still like, you know, written by the Lonely Island guys somewhat, and then or they're involved in it. I don't know. There's a ton of people. If you saw the credits, you would just say like, oh my gosh, I should watch this. But I don't know if you will. But I think you could enjoy it. I think it also could be a little too much. So. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I've seen. Andrew, how about you?
Before I get to what I saw, Robert, my friend, texted me while she was watching Fallout that she went to elementary and middle school with the guy who played Norm in Fallout. The brother.
Wait, Norm?
The brother.
Oh, the short king.
Yeah, the short king.
Love that dude.
Yeah.
That rules. Yeah, I think I mentioned the last episode or something maybe that I saw Ender's Game for the first time, and he's like the asshole like team commander that like Ender comes onto his team, and he's like, actually you don't even get to like compete. Like you get to sit in a corner and like I'll tell you when to like move. But I was like, damn, he's a short king in this one too. Fuck. Mm-hmm. Love this dude.
She told me that he's like even when he was in like elementary and middle school, he really wanted to like do acting. And so like he's been hoping for that since he was a kid. And I think it's like, she was like, I'm so proud of him that he's like in this like big project and it's like good. So
he's in a big project. It's good. And like,
he's good.
I think
in
I
it.
Told you guys, I was kind of like, it just wasn't the most compelling part of the story was like the vault story at first to me, but it comes back around and ties in a satisfying way.
Yeah, I thought by the end that was really interesting.
Yes, 100%. And I was like, this is good. And he is also like so much more moral than everyone else in a way, mm-hmm. even though he's like advocating for like the murder of all the people in the vault that are invaded. It's kind of like he kind of gets what it's like up there, but he lives down here, sort of a thing. Anyway.
I don't know. I thought he was one of the less redeemable characters.
Wow.
I thought like during some of that, and maybe this was not necessarily his character, but the show itself was kind of presenting this whole thing of like you guys just don't understand the death penalty. It's actually pretty great. And like all this bureaucracy that's stopping you from killing people that you don't like is like,
isn't that annoying? Problem. It's annoying in the red world. Tape. Ugh.
I don't think it's wrong. I don't think it's wrong to want it, but it's another thing to do it. And we're getting into spoilers, but he rejects sort of his, what he wants to do. Someone else does something in his stead. And he does uncover sort of a big thing. I don't know. You know what? He's not canceled for me, Max.
I guess
I'm,
you're right. Yeah,
so far, I'm standing him.
The ends do justify the means. You're right. That's sure. true. Every time.
But he doesn't know all the factors either. So it's also something where it's like, as an audience member, you're like, yeah, actually, this probably is the right move. But if you expand out, you're like, well, maybe there is a lot more nuance and stuff. Again, shades of gray. I like that about the show. Yeah. No good guy is actually good fully.
Yeah. I think it was just that episode. And I had watched another show. I forget what the other show was that. Oh, I think it was Jupiter's Legacy that was kind of coming around to that. Why is your old way of thinking stopping me from killing someone? Because that's actually what's best for the world. Mm-hmm. And like watching two of those in a row, I was like, what the fuck is happening?
Hey, yeah, I need something. I need to, like, I don't need like this much toxic nihilism in my.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
The only show I'll talk about is Not Dead Yet, which just finished its second season on ABC. And it's Gina Rodriguez, Hannah Simone, Brad Garrett, Lauren Ash. And it's good, but I am a little worried that this season two will be the last season. It kind of ended in a way that made it seem like this could be the ending. And whenever a show is kind of like, when they kind of, because they released the last couple episodes all on the same day, and that to me kind of feels like we're just dumping this now because we're not planning on continuing this and going forward. So bit of a bummer because I like it. I think it's a good premise. I like Gina Rodriguez a lot, and I think it was a fun sort of like using of that formula, which is this person can talk to dead people, but she's like an obituary writer who learns life lessons from these people who she has to write obituaries about. So I thought it was interesting. I hope it gets a third season and like a one that doesn't feel, I mean, this one was obviously truncated because of the writers and actors strike, but it also kind of felt like the network has kind of lost faith in it a little bit too. So if they do come back, I hope it's with a little bit more support from the network. But
do you think if they do get canceled, do you think they'll ever come back from the dead?
maybe a new show where they talk to the dead can talk to the series. We'll see. Anyways, guys, let's talk about the movie we watched for this week from 1995, Fair Game. That's right. That's Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Hey.
Fair Game from 1995, starring Billy Baldwin and Cindy Crawford and Shooter himself, Christopher McDonald. Shooter McGavin. So Fair Game, 1995. I watched it on the Roku channel. I believe it's also streaming on Tubi. Otherwise, get a DVD or pay for the rental. Would you guys recommend Fair Game?
Well, look, I gave you guys options. We landed on Fair Game. Of course, I'm recommending it. I think it is a very dumb action movie. I don't think Billy Baldwin has the juice.
Oh my God.
I don't think Cindy Crawford, I believe this is her only acting credit outside of like commercials. So I don't think she really has the juice, but she is sort of delivering lines in a very funny, like, she's acting like, you know, she's like a Steven Seagal or something like that. She's And not to praise Steven Seagal necessarily, but she's just not making it work. But I think it somehow coalesces it for me into a very silly, tropey action film that has some great... you can't say shit about the explosions. They are great in this film.
Yes, yeah.
Like I said, some very funny plays on the tropes that I think are hilarious. The technology of the time, the idea of like tracking through credit cards and all that stuff is so funny to me. It holds a special place in my heart, even if it's not an actual masterpiece.
Yeah.
But I would recommend. Max. What about you, Max?
So I never heard of this shit, but it really does feel like it could be a classic to a lot of people. I don't know if it is, probably not. But
it is, I would argue it's a kind of a cult classic for action fans.
Okay, yeah, it feels like that because I feel like it could be up there with.
There's
a lot
huge
of
spectrum. Maybe. I'm talking out of my ass, and action fans are like, "This is on the like low. Like this is like a little too bad to be good kind of a thing." But I enjoy it.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it works as well as a lot of the classics do.
Sure.
But yeah, you're right with all that stuff. It doesn't have the best performances in the world. And speaking of those explosions, there are a couple points where I couldn't see a way that the stunt performers were not getting like actually injured.
They probably did. I mean,
well,
there's especially one where a house blows up and a person is going into the water, but does not look like they're actually going into the water. It looks like
that's maybe my favorite, I think, in the whole thing. That is such an insane stunt.
Have you looked it up at all then?
I haven't looked it up because I'm worried. I'm worried really that someone who looked a lot like Cindy Crawford in that year doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. Yowza.
And don't get me started on the cat. The cat they got rid of in that
scene.
They couldn't get her off the set. So when
they
that
couldn't
blew,
get her off the set.
Gone. Andrew, what about yourself?
I would recommend it.
You're not going to hurt my feelings.
I know. I fully recommend it as a watch. I think it is. It's this. So I was shocked. Like I knew going into the movie that it came out in 1995 when I was watching the movie and I reminded myself it came out in 1995. I was genuinely shocked. I was like, this movie feels like it was straight out of like 1987 or like 88. And I don't, did either of you watch the trailer for this?
Mm-mm.
Oh, it's 100%.
I've probably seen it, but I don't think I rewatched
it. It's 100% the like really cheesy, if these two can just get along, you know, it's going to be a fair game. You know, like it's the trailer guy doing the, like, she doesn't like him, but he's sworn to
protect
her.
She's by the book. He throws the book out.
Yeah. Kind of. It's like, it's, if you get with the right friends in the room, you're in the right mood, this is a perfectly functional, stupid, fun action movie. I would say it's not a movie that you can just turn on at any, you know, for like any occasion. It's
okay. You lost me. You lost me.
now you're mad.
I'm putting this on. Hey, the family's all sitting down enjoying Christmas Eve this on
cutting
the TV.
Into the goose and let's put on Fair Game.
Weddings, funerals.
Yeah.
I shut the DJ down. I'm like, hold on, we need to play a little movie for a bit.
It just, it struck me so much as like an 80s movie. Cause it's like, and I think like we've kind of swung back around to this, which is that like movie stars have to be action stars too. And like, you can correct me. I think I just missed the line, but what was Billy Baldwin's training in this movie where he could like daftly like kill 20 people in a room without like much trouble? Like, was he like a black ops? Like, I just like,
I don't remember if there's that any sort of backstory. It really just might be like, you know, unearned sort of badassness on his character's
cop.
Part.
That's what cops do.
Right. Yeah, he's a cop in Miami.
They save lives by ending 20 at a time. That was one thing about this movie is that like they constantly in the attempt to save her life put about 15 people's lives in mortal peril. Yep. Probably killed them. Like
there are so many times where people just open fire in like public and like there's just no, you know, like I also loved, at first I thought the guy had a grenade launcher, the 33s, those like huge,
but it's just that jackhammer shotgun, right?
Yeah,
like, which is still crazy.
It's crazy. And like, what an inefficient weapon too. Like, it's just, you would have to be so close to somebody for that to be a good kill. Luckily, he's within like 3 feet of people at all times, but like it is. Yeah. I think like this is a perfect movie to like turn on and laugh at. It's not meant to be laughed at. Obviously, I think this movie is as like, I think it takes itself as serious as it can.
Yeah. It's interesting, especially since like, it feels like I would need to go back and sort of double check, but it really kind of presents a lot of like I mentioned, tracking technology and stuff like,
oh my God,
this has got to be like pre-hackers, right? Or, yeah. The Net with Sandra Bullock.
I think The Net would be like a year or two later,
maybe a couple years after, but it's sort of like, I love all, even the idea of like, they at one point get caught because the bodyguards are arguing about ordering food and Cindy Crawford's like, fuck it. Just like, I have an account at this pizza place. Just order. I'll pay for it. Just order their pizza. And he's like, hey, all right. And it's like, at that point, I guess you didn't think that anyone could find you via that, but they find her because she orders pizza.
Also,
I think they're driving around. Haha, the fool. She ordered pizza. We have her now.
It was also like, so you'll be shocked to know this movie actually came out 4 months after The Net.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Hey, but you know, what's the parallel thinking? No one can be blamed for stealing.
I think what must have happened is old Dennis Miller walked onto the set of Fair Game and, you're not going to believe what kind of, so it's, I thought what was really funny was there's a scene where, I thought they were doing this as a way to fool the bad guys, which was they used her credit card at a different hotel, like the same day. And then they just went to that hotel and then the bad guys are even like, these stupid Americans are using it again. And I thought like, well, of course they're setting them up and they sent them. They're actually at a hotel way across town.
Yes. And kind of like, the Prancing Pony in Lord of the Rings. They're right across the street.
Yeah. Nope. They just, like, they were just like, well, I know this credit card kind of set us up before. This movie also introduces a plot line of dirty cops that never gets paid off. It's like, they've got this like huge, like, look, Billy Baldwin within like 10 seconds is like, there are dirty cops, but they're not my friends. You know, it's like, who else could have known about the safe house other than like, I just don't know that technology's caught up to this point. So they introduce this plot line of there has to be dirty cops, but it never gets paid off.
True.
I think this is a great movie to just kind of like throw on with your friends. This would have been a great Ben's house movie where there's like 15 of us and just like get to crack jokes.
There's plenty of like time between scenes. Like you might miss some funny one liners, but like if you're catching like the explosions and the action scenes and stuff, it's perfectly serviceable. I can sit down and watch it and enjoy myself, but I also understand that it is maybe a better group watch and even being talked over, it's very enjoyable.
It's also like, it's a pretty bloody movie too for like a movie of this kind. Like tons of people are getting shot and there's blood splatter everywhere.
Yeah, good squibs.
I would also say that that's not the most graphic part of the movie. I'd feel like to me, the most graphic part of the movie is when Billy Baldwin and Cindy Crawford nearly fuck in that train and like,
are they nearly fucking? I think they are.
I think they do fuck, but what I mean is we almost see them nearly fuck. Like, it's like he is about, like, they strip down and he's like kissing near her crotch in her underwear. And it's just like, what the fuck? I know I didn't switch channels to, you know, one of my other Roku
channels. Goddamn Skinamax.
They really do seem to, like, that is the point of the writers bringing Cindy Crawford in, like every single scene that she's in, it's like, I think she has to take another shower at this point.
Take another shower.
And you know what? Showers do come, are a big factor at some point. Another big favorite of mine.
Showers are like a third character.
I support writers, Max, is what I'm saying. And I think if that's what they want to do with Cindy, you know, God bless them.
I also like,
I mean, they did also do it with Billy.
And can we talk about, Andrew, you're going to say something, but I do want to talk about that.
I was going to say the movie opens in a way that like, we just don't see anymore unless it's satire, which is Cindy Crawford running in a sports bra on the beach. Like,
and it's like silhouetted at first. It's like her and the sun in the background. And
which is just, it's just one of those things. Like, is the intention of this for like lonely men to just like start beating off in the movie theater? Like it's slow motion Cindy Crawford, you know, running in a sports bra. It's like golden hour.
Hold on, I'll be right back.
keep describing. I just have to turn off my camera for a sec. It's like golden hour. You're just seeing her running in slow motion and like, you know, she looks great. And just like, but like what, this is like rolling over the opening credits. Like that's how you're introduced to the movie. And then a gunshot.
If you want people to
off,
pay attention to the credits, I think that's a pretty
I guess so.
And then we didn't mention though, like she gets shot, an attempted assassination on her, you know, of her, she gets shot at. She tries to convince them that it was someone else or it was a coincidence.
Well, yeah, she's like, I think, as far as I know, a piece of glass exploded and I got cut by it. It's like,
yeah. What does she say? She's like, this is Miami or Tampa, Miami. She's like, this is Miami. She's like, we shoot the tourists, not the other way around or something like that. Uh-huh. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? What the hell are you talking about? But I do want to go back to the shower scene where the bad guys have like thermal imaging.
Oh my God.
And they're looking for them and they see through the building. That he's stupid. In the shower. She's laying down in the bed, like just like flummoxed. She's like, oh my God. And when the shower goes cold, doesn't someone flush the toilet or something? Like,
no, he,
I don't remember what happened.
He like for some reason is not pleased with his hot shower. So he turns on the cold on the shower.
But what it does is it makes his internal body temperature go to sub-zero levels yeah, where he is now invisible to.
Yeah, he disappeared.
I just love the idea that he's like, shivering free. Like he is so cold that he cannot be, he's invisible.
Yeah.
He's invisible.
I love that was
the funniest.
And then
love that shit. I think that is good.
As soon as they don't need it anymore, his body heat also raises.
He suddenly
it doesn't, yeah, that also doesn't pay off. You think like
he wasn't hot, like he wasn't sweating, being, you know, scared walking around or anything. He's just invisible. He's invisible.
And then it just, there's nothing to that either. There's nothing in the scene that like later like references that or something. Like he's not like, he doesn't figure it out later that like, they must have thermal imaging and like
he has the X gene. He's like a mutant.
He's Iceman.
He's able to. Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, they introduced this thing of like, he disappeared. I don't know what to tell you. And then it's like 5 minutes later, he's like, oh, he's in the third room. Or it's like, why did they do that? For what purpose? It didn't serve any purpose. It's not like they skipped over his room because they didn't realize he was there or something.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a thing where it's just like, oh, he's gone. I don't know what to tell you.
The other one random thing I wanted to mention is I was trying to remember if it was like a paddle or just like a wood sign, but in Cindy's office she has it's law,
and
on a big like picture,
and at her home she
has, and later on I was like, am I crazy? Did I see that again? And she was like the same one at her house. I was like, okay, we get it. You love the law. We get it.
She also, for someone who has those, also seems to hate the cops. Like it's like every, like she's like, oh, you know, like,
and she is a queen for that.
Yes. We a slay queen.
A cab before it was popular.
Yeah. She also had, yeah, she had the first A cab sign in her.
Yeah. This was another example of the cop saying like, basically, hey, if it weren't for you lawyers, I could kill whoever I wanted. Why are you getting in my way?
Yeah,
How about, Billy's parking job? When he goes to her house, he just like drives onto like the grass. He basically looks like he's gonna drive off into the water.
Yeah, where was he gonna go? Because he parks across the like the bay from her too. Like
it's so funny.
He's like,
I'm gonna go the long way. And then we sort of alluded to it earlier, but they've rigged her house to explode.
Her television.
She says, you know, you want to watch cable news with me to the cat? The cat meows in disdain. She goes, oh, what? It's not gonna kill you. Flicks the TV on, explosion, and then this is on YouTube. Find, you know, look up fair game explosion.
Mm-hmm.
The stunt double like flips
seems,
multiple times.
Yeah,
off
seems
of
to
the
like
balcony.
Seems to like barely miss the marina. Like she, like truly,
it
she
looks
was
like
gonna...
two different shots. Like there was one close up where someone was doing the stunt and probably landed closer, and then someone else did the shot where they landed in the water.
Yeah.
It is wild.
Yeah.
But it is a great stunt. And there's lots of good explosions in this movie. I really stand by some of the action stuff is really fun.
Mm-hmm. And the chemistry between the leads,
Oh my.
Electric.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the heat signature does come back because the bad guys do find them sort of, fucking on the train. And like you said, Andrew, I think Billy Baldwin is like,
he's going for
her.
It. He's
in
going
her when she grabs the gun and shoots a bad guy behind.
Yeah, him. They're going for it. Like it's.
I don't know how many action movies. I know a lot of action movies like sex is interrupted, but this was like they are still
in. Yeah, in the middle of
while it occurs.
Yeah, it's.
So I think that's a record. Get that in the IMDb trivia, in my opinion.
I also spoilers for the end of the movie, they kidnap Cindy Crawford, the bad guys. I'm still kind of unclear why they were after her. Like, she had some information that
she was finding out because of like the maritime law that like the boat out there was, you know, illegal or whatever.
The Tortuga.
She didn't
the
know
Tortuga.
What all was happening.
The Tortuga.
The Tortuga. Yes. So, but I feel like if you go back, it's definitely a huge plot hole that like, so were they planning on blowing the boat up the whole time? Were they just waiting for her to get
there?
There
was explosives rigged in the boat. Like there was an active bomb on the boat.
Yeah, I don't. That, so it's like, if no one had discovered it, were they just like being really overly cautious? Like, hey, no one touch this button because this will blow the damn thing up.
Yeah,
like,
and certainly don't jostle it off the table because that will not only activate it, but it'll set up the timer for like less time than... I also love, so there's, I believe, 2 minutes or 3 minutes on the timer. And, you know, it gets knocked over, they shoot the bad guy, he runs away. And like between when the thing gets knocked over and he goes to rescue Cindy Crawford, which is like 13 seconds of airtime, a minute and a half of the clock had gone down. It was like at 90 seconds. And then they're trying to escape the boat, and they somehow manage to maneuver all the way through the boat to the deck in roughly 30 seconds. And then
it really should have been like swapped a little bit editing wise.
And then they figure out like the conflict is that they can't get the door open. Like there's some like mechanism that's like jamming the door and they can't get it open. And then they cut back to the bad guy who's transferring the funds, but I don't know what this joke was, but it was like, for British pounds, press 1. For French, you know, francs, press 2. For American currency, please stay on the line to, you know, and you'll be on with our soonest operator. I was like, what is this a joke about? Like
it,
being on,
I was wondering that, is it just kind of a joke of like in the movie, like in action movies, you're always like trying, you know, you have some offshore account or you're going through Switzerland, you're just like transferring funds, but like there would be an exchange rate. So is it just like, of course you want American money, but unfortunately it's going to take longer. There's like bureaucracy or red tape or something.
Somebody involved in this movie was mad at a bank because like there's also the first scene that we meet our main character, Max, he's on hold with a bank because they had put a check on hold of his like 12 years ago and it was preventing him from getting a condo. And it was just like this also.
So this is really someone had like an overdraft fee and the writer was like, fucking show
fuck
them.
Oh,
fair game.
Well, yeah. It's just like, also, can we say, an actress shows up in this movie that's so criminally underutilized. Selma Hayek is in this movie for 15 seconds.
As the fiery Latin girlfriend who is causing a scene every chance she gets. But she looks good as hell.
She continues to...
I was like, you know what? I'm toxic, but I could fix her. I can figure out. I'll go out and clean up all my clothes out of the street and I'll get back together with her.
Oh my God. It was just like, she's, again, there's like almost no point to her because like, You introduce a character like that and she's so mad at him and like clearly he's fucked up in some way in their relationship, but we don't get anything like that. It's just like, you know, we kind of, you know, like, don't we like Max? Like, isn't this kind of unfair to him that this girl's like throwing his shit out on the street and, you know, like isn't getting a condo because of this fucking bank? It's just like, kind of seems
like
he's
the cops
a bit
are like, come to the window. Here we go again. Like,
just like, this guy seems like a fucking deadbeat asshole, like from all evidence like presented, but instead we're just like, hey, he's kind of a cool guy. Kicks ass.
Yeah, I just want the story from her perspective. I want like that drama.
But like, so the bomb blows up at the end of the movie. Fast forward back to the end of the movie. The bomb blows up. It blows up the bad guy, or I guess it kind of doesn't blow up the bad guy. I think he drowns in like acid or something. Like at the end of the thing, he's like, like it just, I don't know what was happening to him, but they cut to Cindy Crawford and William Baldwin. They just open the door.
Like, they're
like, oh no. And then like just bomb blows up and they go, and they get off and just like, okay.
Those boat doors can be kind of tough.
Yeah.
I thought the main villain was kind of funny in that, like, earlier on, he's kind of trying to cover up who he is when he calls them up. And he's, like, putting on an American accent.
Yeah.
And they're like, no,
we
know you're Russian. So, like, quit trying to hide Vladimir or whatever. Dosvidaniya.
Dosvidaniya.
Yeah, Dosvidaniya.
And then And then the whole rest of the movie, he's just British. He's like,
yeah,
not nearly Russian.
You know what I thought was like an actually great villain move is when he kills his cousin and then like changes his her answering machine to be like, this is the answering machine to Detective So-and-so's pesky family member. And just like, and then
hated
like,
to see her go.
And then
I was going to say early on. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say just Billy Baldwin's face. Like he should know from the second that he hears his voice that something happened. But once he goes, like once he hears the gunshot, then he's like,
okay, maybe she's doing an impression. Maybe she's doing an impression.
Yeah, oh my God. This is really funny. This is so meta.
I hate it. She was cool. I hated she was that, cool. that she got wrapped into that.
Yeah.
There were so many people in his life that got killed.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's also, a walking like, disaster. He shouldn't be a cop.
Where does this bad guy have all this time to go jetting around the city, killing all these like other like ancillary people?
Instead of like getting the bank transfer ready ahead of time, so you don't have to worry about the American dollar exchange.
There's no villain greater than the bank.
He also
system,
kills, and true. I believe this is the same actor. There's the guy early on who's like, hey, I can't, you know, this isn't going to happen. And he's like, what are you going to do, kill me? And he shoots him. And I think that's the guy in the first part of Jurassic Park who's like, Hammond is a digger and he has like the amber in like the cave. He's like talking to the lawyer. I think that's that same guy. But I love he shoots like the important guy and then he goes like, hey, can you do what he did? He's like, duh. Oh, I guess you didn't need
good.
Him. Okay.
Yeah. I guess that's good. Any final thoughts on the movie before we head out?
I'm glad it seems like you guys were at least, you know, lukewarm to warm on it. I really do think it's a fun and dumb action film. It also just such a weird pairing. Cindy's basically only movie role.
It truly
Baldwin, arguably one of his better roles, maybe. I don't know.
Yes, yeah. I was skimming through her IMDb. It's all like either appearing as Cindy Crawford or like
a cameo as herself.
Yeah,
or, yeah,
yeah.
And I just think it's this weird sweet spot where it does feel like it's calling all these tropes in from action films and sometimes doing them better, sometimes doing them worse. I think that sweet spot for the time. Oh, we didn't even talk about Cindy going in and flirting with the tech nerd.
Oh my
God. Get a bunch of computers running. Come on. That's some good stuff.
I did like that. He was like, you're not actually
playing with your joystick.
Yeah. There's a lot of innuendos. I did love that. He just like, eventually he figures out, he just goes like, you're not actually going to buy anything, are you? You're just using me. She goes, yeah. I'm just using you.
He's like, you're Cindy Crawford, right?
Wait, you're Pepsi model Cindy Crawford, right?
So yeah, I would advocate for folks to give this a watch because it's a lot more fun than it might seem to be. And like you said, maybe even a better group watch where you don't have to pay full attention. It's good stuff.
Yeah. Max, what about you?
Yeah, I think fun and dumb, that wraps it up. I think it's it is fun though. Like that's the one thing that I wasn't sure it was going to be. So I'm glad.
I would try not to recommend a total slog. So yeah.
It was good stuff.
Yeah, I had fun watching it. I think it's a totally serviceable middle of the day watch with your friends and fucking crack up and don't think too much about it because there's not a lot to think about. But. Also, a year later, he would play Shooter McGavin. So, Christopher McDonald, thank you for your service. Wish you could have done more in the movie, but yeah, we didn't know what we had yet until you became Shooter McGavin. So,
yeah.
Anyways, thanks for listening, everybody. We will see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.